All right, reminding you that the BBP is brought to you by 50 West Brewing Company, and things are happening at 50 West. The next big event you need to check out, Saturday, November 4th at 50 West Brewing Company. They have the Great Ohio Brew and Q. It's Great Lakes and 50 West collaborating again. So it's going to be chefs, brewers from both breweries. Can't miss display of beers and barbecue. This is as good as it gets, combining those two. So tickets are available online at 50westbrew.com. Make sure you check that out.
Yeah, and while the 50 West helps Paul and I bring you behind the scenes and inside the Bengals here on the BBP, make sure you head over there every Sunday, 50 West Brewing Company, for all your NFL action, featuring every NFL game. Of course, their award-winning selection of craft beers and prizes given away each week. 50 West, perfect spot to root on your Bengals and then come back for this BBP. You can learn more about them.
Optimistic Bobby's Bengals,
yeah,
too. So he'll be there. Anyway, make sure you check him out. There is stuff going on there every single day. Canoeing, volleyball. If you're active, you're running groups, you name it, you can go on down to 50 West. They're adding value to people's life through beer. No better way to do that. So at 50 West, every beer is a journey. So join for the ride. Welcome into the BBP. This is the Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat podcast presented by 50 West Brewery. Here, your Cincinnati.com Bengals beat writers, Jim Osarski and Paul Diener Jr., invite you beyond the headlines and inside Paul Brown Stadium for the scoop on all things Bengals. Find out insider news, listen in on conversations with players, coaches, and others relevant to the club. You can subscribe in iTunes, Google Play, or your preferred podcast platform. Of course, you can always listen in the podcast section of our Cincinnati.com Bengals app. Let's go. All right, welcome to the latest edition of the BBP2. This is the Deuce, presented by 50 West Brewing Company. Excited to be back here with you. I feel like this is like the fourth Steelers week.
Yeah.
BBP we've done. We've had four between right. The Buffalo game and the Steelers game. And
yeah.
With the bye week, everyone just wants to hear Steelers. And think about what it would be like. People just get so emotionally invested in this game for good reason.
Yeah.
We've talked up why it's a huge game, but you almost can't talk enough about it. Not going to lie, kind of sick of talking about it. Ready to see it actually happen.
Yeah, I think we fall in line with Marv and the players, too. I know we kind of tease this on Monday. On Monday, the first BBP, like, oh, no one's really around. And there were, like, maybe three more guys around on Wednesday, and along with Marvin. And Andy was around because he had to be. And it was kind of like, it's a game, but it's not a game. And it's important, but it's not.
It was everyone sort of talking in circles trying to say nothing.
Yeah.
There's just such a line sort of drawn around them where they're all like, do not say anything.
Right.
You shouldn't. There's just there's such a caution. Like you said, it was Marv was like that. Andy was like that. Everybody really has sort of,
right,
for the most part, been like that. And it hasn't been like that, especially the last few weeks.
Yeah.
We haven't even seen people like AJ or that's not necessarily super out of the ordinary.
He tries to show up once a week.
But I got denied, not in a bad way, but just people not wanting to talk.
That's the weird part.
Maybe usually more this week than all year.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of tells you.
Yeah, and I don't know. Now, obviously, as readers and listeners, that's not good for you because we are the conduit between the two. So that means you don't hear from these guys. You're not getting much. Marvin, I'm sure, likes that. You know, Gino's not really around either.
He's not been around.
Gino hasn't even been around to swap me.
No,
you know, I might have.
Because we want to be bringing you
the
Gino Speaks attempt.
Right. I might have to write him a note.
Yeah,
I have time.
Gino Notes was far superior to Gino Speaks, in my opinion.
Right.
I loved Gino Notes.
I might have to bring that back.
Check the box, yes, no, or maybe.
So I don't know if that's a good thing. You know what I mean? Because, look, Paul, so my first experience with Bengals Steelers was, the 6-0 Bengals rolling into Heinz Field?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we were talking about the best Bengals team in 20 years at that point.
Yeah.
And at that point, there was some swag, and it was like, well, it's important, it means something, but if we lose, it's 6-1. I mean, everyone here was kind of loose.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got weird. You know, I mean, there was then Andy gets hurt, and A.J. McCarron guy, and then the playoff game, and then paint your boy on the beach and respect the name and mass murder.
Paint your boy on the beach.
it turned into this weird thing. You know what I mean?
And it got angry.
It got angry, and then, of course, the Steelers beat them.
Yeah.
You know, and the Bengals imploded. So I don't blame Marvin for trying to do this dance of we need to get to 3-3. They're in first place. But also, to me, Paul, comes across as like they've beaten us 3 of the last 4 and 7 of the last 8, right?
7 of the last 8.
So we don't have the right to have any swag or anything.
You know, it would be really hard to go back and really measure loose, confident nature of the team throughout these 8 games.
Right.
But I can tell you probably the most confident and loose they have been was the one they won.
Yeah.
And that's not by, to me, that's not by an accident.
Right.
I mean, when they were 6-0, Tyler Eifert was on BTS with us the first episode of the year.
Yeah.
And he said, he was talking about something else, but he said, I just remember during that 8-0 run, we always just went into the game so confident knowing that no matter what happened, we were going to find a way to win.
Right.
And there was that confidence was there throughout that week of feeling like they were going to go up there and win. That's what we're going to do. And not this need to be careful and hushed and all that. And I just, so, you know, we can kind of sit here and debate where this team's head is at. And if it matters, I always favor loose and free and maybe saying something you shouldn't over tight.
Right.
And be careful, don't do this, don't do that. Let guys be themselves.
Right.
Maybe let them fire something off during the week if they on accident do. Who cares? Right. Who cares? Do we really think that Pittsburgh is going to be more jacked if Vontaze Burfict says, I hate Pittsburgh today?
No.
No. No.
No. So it's, you know, there were a couple fun moments, you know, where George Iloka said it. They're like the cousin.
They're the cousin that you're not cool with.
Yeah.
Talk about if it's like going to dinner with your brother. Thanksgiving dinner with your brother. He's like, no. This is not a brotherly thing.
And Dre Kirkpatrick said, hey, man, it's heavy. There's dudes here who don't like them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to an extent. But, you know, the rivalry is different a little bit now. Antonio Brown went to Dre's camp.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I wrote about this, I think, a year ago. I like Mike Mitchell, public enemy number one. It's like trains with George Iloka in the offseason. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, you know, that's just the way it is. So I don't know. I haven't gotten a gauge, Paul. I put it this way. The young guys don't know any better, so they really have nothing to say
because
they haven't played in this game.
Yep.
And then, so George and Dre kind of were George and Dre. I mean, they were subdued but didn't really – and then everyone else has just not been around.
Yeah.
So, like, are they not being themselves? They might be. They're just not around to be themselves to us.
Yeah. So, and I don't know if any of this matters.
No. Like, but as far as we see.
But if you're trying to judge tone of the team, how tight are they? You know, if you're judging.
Right. So levels. Is that tightness? Is Adam Jones not being in the locker room?
Or is it them wanting to just walk softly and carry a big stick?
Right.
I don't, you know. Maybe that's kind of what it is. Maybe they're just trying to, you know, backbuild at this point for the tornado. I don't know. And I don't know how much of this stuff matters. But, I do think that being tight and cautious has been an issue in this series and is a big reason why they're 1-7 in the last. I do that. Because
I don't
have
your
quarterback for a couple
of them. I don't believe the Steelers' talent level is a 7-1 favorite over this team.
No. It's not. It's not now, and this isn't even close to the best Bengals teams that they've had during this run.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, to me, and we talked about earlier, I think these two teams
It's ridiculous how parallel they are.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous how similar they are. The young defense that's right. coming into their own and becoming a dominant force because right. of a crew of draft picks that are hitting. Sound familiar? Quarterback who gets questioned, has had one really awful game, right. and the other rest of it been fairly good.
Right.
Right? Offense that sputtered, stopped. People are, like, getting right. mad What's at the coordinator. What's yeah. our identity? All that stuff. People bickering there on the Pittsburgh side. You know, there's just so many parallels
yep.
to these two teams. This is not a huge talent differential, but I don't know how you go into it and you say you feel confident in the Bengals because the history shows.
Yeah.
History shows they haven't been good at going in there and knowing how to win these games, at least not in recent years. And we're always told not to worry too much about the past. So I'm not right. worrying about the deep past. I'm talking about the recent past
right.
with these guys. They have not been able to win these games. They just haven't. There's an attitude to that, right?
Yeah, and I've said this on this podcast so many times. Like, in the end, you know, in football, I always go with the better quarterback. Mm-hmm. And Ben Roethlisberger is the better quarterback. And, you know, he hasn't been great against the Bengals in his career. But, you know, they win the game. Mm-hmm. Most of these games are within a possession.
Yeah.
Of late. I mean, the blowouts were, even the Andy getting hurt game with McCarron, to me, that, like, the score was what it was, but it felt a little closer, if that makes sense. And
yeah.
At the end of 15,
and you got it when you lose your quarterback in the right. first quarter, you almost throw that one out.
So they've been close.
Yeah, they've been close.
You know?
Not been able to finish.
So, and the other team, what the Hall of Famer does.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe that's it. Maybe that's the difference. Because honestly, I know people here get on Marvin, but look, Mike Tomlin hears the same stuff.
Yeah.
About, like, what do you do? You know what I mean? Like, besides, like, tripping players on the field.
Right.
Sorry, right. bro. That's part of your legacy.
It really is.
You know what I mean? So, like, but you're right. They are oddly similar, especially this week. Like, yeah. all those things. I mean, who knows, Paul? Maybe those young guys for the Bengals who don't know any better and they'll
maybe
just
that's a good thing.
Maybe it's a good thing.
And at the end of the day, none of this that we talked about will matter if these tackles can't block a soul.
Yeah.
And that's sort of been the thing for so long. You wrote about it this week about the tackle rotation, and we've talked about it a lot on here. But I thought one of my favorite parts of this story, one of my favorite elements of this, was the fact that it was this whole thing about the tackle rotation and how Marvin's like, it's not great, but it's what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
And then you talk to Paul Alexander, and he's like, we got three, might as well play them. No one's like, this is great.
Right.
Right? Because then you talk to the guys, like, this sucks.
Yeah.
I don't want to yeah. do this.
Right.
What good soldier was used.
Yeah.
A number of curse words were used.
Right. Do what you're told.
Do what you're told.
Yeah.
Someone needs to freaking take the spot.
Right.
No one likes what's happening. And I think that's an important thing that hasn't been talked about enough.
Yeah.
At all, really, until your story, as far as that I've really seen it.
Yeah.
They're doing it because no one is good enough.
Right.
No one is happy. No one thinks that this is a better way to play tackle.
Right.
You know, the two sentences line from Jake Fisher was great, talking about how it's like writing two sentences. Someone else goes out there right. and write two sentences, and you got to go come back. Like, what the hell happened to those last two sentences? I don't
right.
know. It's really hard to write a story that way. What did was that your biggest takeaway from it, or was there something else?
Yeah, no, I think look, this whole offseason was built around Jake Fisher and Cedric Ogbuehi, and we talked like how long is the leash, and I kept saying like four games, five games. Obviously, the firing Ken Zampezi turned everything on its head,
mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden it was like rotation, your job, like you're not good, and the fact that they haven't. No one has won the job. Well, let's be real. Everyone is, you know, Andre Smith, we said this, is kind of in like the perfect situation here where he's kind of the golden child. There's really nothing he can do or can't do that really is going to warrant much criticism
yeah.
just based on the role he's in. But it's not. But clearly he hasn't won the right tackle job
clearly.
Or he hasn't won the left tackle job. So they're all three. I think that's – the thing is they're not happy about it. They know it. They say it. They're doing what they're told. But the coaches are like, well, it's there if you win it.
Yeah, but no one's been
– nobody's won.
Nobody's been superior. They've all just been very average to below average,
yeah,
depending on what the
day. So there's a feeling in the building, Paul, that in the context of the league, this is an average tackle group that has – that Bill Lazor has helped with some schematic changes, that this rotation has helped. Now, is average good enough to win a division?
Maybe.
I don't know.
I mean, eventually, it is their fatal flaw.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever level that is, if you're saying you can win a division, but you can't win a playoff game, or
right,
you can win a playoff game, but you can't win an AFC title.
Right.
I mean, it's their fatal flaw. It's why they don't have – that's why they don't have a deep run in them this year. You know, if they had a great offensive line – I think you'd love where this team was at, but they don't. And I know all Whitworth guys so mad right now, and I get it.
Yeah, right.
As are we, because he was great for us.
Right.
And clearly everybody wishes Andrew Whitworth was still here right now,
yeah,
including Paul Alexander, and probably,
right,
I mean, be crazy if you said you weren't when you consider what's happening. But, you know, he's not.
Nah.
This is where you're at. And offensive line play is bad everywhere. Like there's like five good offensive lines in this league, and the rest are pretty much trash.
Yeah.
Teams trying to work around it, trying to find one or two guys that are good, trying to develop dudes. That's everywhere.
Right.
It's really weird how that is. But anyway, Jake Fisher was great.
Yeah.
He was phenomenal in this. So I want to bring in your conversation with Jake. And you really, I think, when you listen to him, you get a great feel of how much he really doesn't like this.
Right.
So anyway, right, here's Jim with Jake Fisher talking about the offensive line rotation.
I mean, as far as players go, we got to do what the coaches tell us to do.
Yeah.
That's up to Coach Paul and ROC to really,
yeah,
figure that out. For us, we just got to do our job, stay focused on the techniques, whatever situation it is, first down, second down, if it's a third down run, even in those fourth down, when you're on the 2-inch line, you got to,
right,
get it done. So it doesn't matter the situation for us, really. It's just a matter of what do I got to take care of on this play and get it done.
Yeah. Is there, you know, is for the few years prior to it was, you know, it's cohesion and talking about all that stuff, which is great. I guess when there is a rotation or there's injury, is run game, is that where you see, like, does that take a little longer to get cohesion or get a rhythm? Because there are rotations or guys going in and out with injury, or can you not view it that way? It's like, no, it doesn't matter what that is. We just need to be effective when we're in there. I mean, how do you guys kind of view?
It's tough, man. It's like writing a paper. If you write half the paper and then someone comes in, writes a couple sentences, and then you got to start it back up, you miss those two sentences. You miss,
right,
that part of the paper that you're writing.
Right.
For us, that's what our coaches want us to do, so we have to get it done. That comes down to your mindset and who you are and what you want to become. You just get this shit done. But as far as what we're building on, they want to see guys in there. So
yeah,
we have a lot of talented guys in this team. At every position, you see wide receivers, running backs rotating. That's kind of where we're at until someone steps up and says, this is my fucking spot. I'm going to take it. And end game. That's,
yeah,
you know, that's what it's got to become.
Yeah. Is that kind of, at least for you guys too, is that kind of just where you're, that's what it has to be mentally for you guys, is just in I mean, however they script it is how they script it, but
mm-hmm,
it, when I'm in the sentences I have to write,
right,
they have to be great. So
yeah,
the next time it's...
You have to set it up for the next person coming in as well.
Right.
I mean, if you're out there and you're not getting your job done, it's going to be even harder for that guy coming in and the rotation to get the groove as well.
Right.
So you got to play off each other. You got to watch the game, be in tune with the game when you're not in there. And it also, you can, if you're a positive person or a realist, you can see what they're giving you from a different perspective.
Right.
So you can see how they're rotating safeties and changing the linebackers and how the DNs are playing it. Kind of get a different perspective of it.
Right.
You just got to take it, whatever you can, and use it as your advantage.
Yeah.
All right, so there was Jake Fisher talking a little bit of offensive line. Optimistic Bobby time. 50 West owner Bobby Slattery is back, and it's Steelers week. The bye week happened, so there's nothing to react to, but still plenty from Bobby. And he's got a question that we actually wanted to get to anyway, so this is perfect. Anyway, here is Optimistic Bobby, here with his optimistic takes.
All right, it is that time again. I'm excited. I know you are excited. It's time for Optimistic Bobby, 50 West owner Bobby Slattery. Bobby, how are we doing? I imagine you're in a pretty good place right now for Steelers Week.
I feel pretty good. I'm not going to scream hoo-day. I think I broke the – I don't know what was going on in the last recording, but I think I broke it when I did it last time.
I think you did. I think that used to levels that high. We're not used to levels that high. We don't usually have that kind of optimism.
I'm doing well. You know, it's the NFL bye week. That's always a weird week because you get to get off the emotional roller coaster for a week, which part of you is like, this is great. I'm going to go outside, do some yard work, feel good about it. And the other part of you is just like, oh, God, it seems like forever since the last game. So,
did you go out and, like, rake the leaves and think about the Steelers game, or are you able to detach yourself?
I mean, I passively was watching that game thinking, you know, like all irrational Bengals fans, the Steelers get all the calls. How come they don't get the refs? There must be some sort of fix on this. I was a little deflated when they won that game. But, you know, whatever. Hey, bring it on. It's Steeler Week. I'm excited.
All right. So do you have some optimistic takes for us before we get going into questions?
Coming off a bye week, I'm a little flat here. But, you know, my optimistic takes are completely irrational. I'm hoping that John Ross has been that he's secretly playing this week. You guys have just been playing it down in the media as far as how much attention he's been getting. On the field, so I'm hoping that there's, like, some crazy offense that gets rolled out that has never been seen before. I'm just excited. I'm excited to play the Steelers. It's a big game.
I mean, I feel like you're kind of you're taking the Bengals players route this week. You're kind of hushing up. You don't want to create any bulletin board material with any over enthusiastic takes. Am I sensing a little tension?
Maybe you are. You know, you never know. It's Steeler Week. I unfortunately went back and watched the playoff game, the end of it, and it just crushed me all over again.
Wait, what? Wait, you went back and watched the playoff game?
I went back and watched, you know, the most crushing moment, the part where I was hugging every person in my section that I haven't said two words to. Probably in the last 5 years, and then it went to, oh my God, what just happened?
Yeah. Why would you go back and do that to yourself?
It was a huge mistake. It was a huge mistake. I thought it was going to go back and watch it and be like, you know what? I've come to terms with this. And instead I was like, I can't believe that happened.
You were searching for closure, but you weren't ready to close yet.
I was searching for closure. The only closure I got out of it was, I did think had we won that game, the Andy Dalton question might have just lingered forever. You know, that was the only positive I could come out of it was like, I mean, at least we don't have to go through this, like, dog can't win the playoff game.
Right.
So anyways, I'm ready for my question. I know you got a busy week. There's lots of
I'm ready. Let's go. I'm just more amazed that you're just torturing yourself. And rewatching the playoff game. That's amazing.
I know.
It's amazing. I didn't know that was a thing that happened.
No, don't. Just advice to everyone else: just don't watch it. It's just gonna make you sad and angry.
All right. What's the question?
It's very fitting after we discuss this playoff game. So, no single player in Bengal fandom, no opponent has crushed us more than Roethlisberger over the years. I can't tell you the number of times where I think that he's sacked. Or we have taken him down and he's nowhere to be found and just, like, drops a bomb on us out of nowhere. But, you know, everybody in Steeler country seems to be – I was talking to some Steeler fans. They think Roethlisberger might be over the hill. And I want to know, what is your professional take on Ben Roethlisberger? Have we seen the end of him crushing the Bengals' spirits? Or should we be anticipating another
–
how the heck did that happen – this Sunday?
Okay, that's a good question. We'll hop right on it. What's going on out at 50 West right now? I guess have you found a case for your gold medal where it's just like hang above the bar, or where is it now?
That's a great question. So I got all mad because it was literally sitting on a desk yesterday, and I told our guy who does all our deck. I go put it in the trophy case. He goes, we don't have any room left in the trophy case. We've gotten too many trophies, which is that's
wow.
a good thing, right?
That was humble. That was very humble.
Humble brag.
Out of trophy case.
We're out of trophy space. So here's the big news. We got these new tanks in, and they look beautiful. And we all you people that live over on the southern side of Cincinnati, otherwise known as Northern Kentucky, we will be distributing to Northern Kentucky
nice.
As of not next week, but the week following. This has been
nice.
Coming. So,
how about that?
You know, I know everyone sitting at watching football games at Dickman's will now be able to get 50 West beer to enjoy while they watch the Bengals. So
that's awesome.
We're very excited about it. That's it. Let's give me my answer on Roethlisberger and.
Yeah.
And I'm ready for Sunday, and I'm sorry I broke the recording machine last week with a screaming hoo day. I can't promise it won't be my last.
I will have to get a new program for recording these if the Bengals beat the Steelers. That's all I know. It will be loud. It won't register. It won't even register. It'll be silent like a dog whistle.
I'm in my spirit of this week. I'm not going to say anything. We're just going to leave it be. But I think you might be correct.
All right, sounds great, Bobby. We'll talk to you next week then.
All right, we'll see ya. Hootay.
All right, soul crushing, soul crushing. Ben Roethlisberger. Let's get into it. So, Ben, of course, said he was washed up. People told him that he said he was washed up. Don't tell me about how I'm washed up. That's pretty much how that went.
Right.
How over the hill is he? When we see Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, all these guys, these top quarterbacks playing into their 40s, guys are playing Drew Brees. You know, all these guys are playing so much later in their career. The quarterback position is so protected where you can be back there and maybe be at your best in your late 30s.
Right.
Arguably, because you know the game the most. You're still pretty healthy. Can still wing it. He is different.
Yeah.
The same way he's different in the way he plays.
Right.
He's different in the way he will age.
Yeah.
He takes too many hits. He's too reliant on being able to take hits to be able to play into your 40s. He's like what quarterbacks used to be.
Yeah.
Guys that took a lot of hits that can't just play till they're 40.
Right.
And that's why I think the clock is ticking much quicker on him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's one of the few guys to take himself out with a concussion. Remember a year ago in Seattle and you know, he's missed games and the thing that made Big Ben an all-timer will prevent him from being an old-timer. You know, I mean, when you start, it's like Carson Palmer. I do believe there is something to the, well, maybe I should retire conversation. You know, people like to bring up Brett Favre with that and the dance he did, but yet he probably should have won an MVP in his second to last year. I guess he's the best comp to Ben because Brett was a physical guy, took hits, extended plays,
played a lot,
big arm, but also threw a lot of interceptions.
Yeah,
like his game aged in that way, right? Like because he just threw it all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
But then the cliff came. Like Brett Favre's career ended with a concussion. You know, with Brian Urlacher. Take it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's the guy that we've seen, but it's just not as good and dynamic and accurate. And
but in terms of this Sunday, December 4th, those two games, he has just as much potential to crush souls of Bengals fans again.
Yeah.
I think he's still that guy right now. That can certainly, I do think you will see more and more of games, maybe not like the 5-turnover game,
right.
But where you see some more games like that, where he's just not able to take the hit or shake it off or get away the way that he wants to. And Ben has, when he gets under too much pressure, has always had a tendency to throw it to you.
Yeah.
Always. Yeah, that's part of his
Reggie
game.
Nelson
yeah.
Once
made
a
career.
Ball. Yeah.
Made a career off of it. And I think, but I still think he has more than enough of it now and enough history against these guys to go out there and deliver the blows that end the game, because he does still have the savvy to do it. I think that you can see the end coming for sure, and he does. He's been open about it.
Yeah.
I mean, people say, oh, Ben, he just likes drama.
Yeah.
He likes
I think
riding
he does.
The storylines. Maybe,
but, yeah.
But his current storyline that he's riding is maybe I'm going to walk away.
Right.
And when you start talking about that, it sort of becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy a little bit, I feel like, in this league.
Yeah.
If it's on your mind. I mean, Favre's obviously the most notable of person who talked about it for, like, years and years
right.
and years. But I don't know if Roethlisberger will be like that or not. I do know that in terms of crushing souls this Sunday, he definitely has all the ability to do that, and I don't think he's washed up in that regard.
Yeah, when it comes to Sunday, Paul, put it this way. I think if the Steelers are going to go on the game-winning March drive, it's Le'Veon Bell getting the ball for most of it.
Yes.
With Ben going quick to Antonio Brown. In the end, that fourth quarter drive, comeback win, goes to the quarterback. But I don't know. I guess I'm not as convinced that if you asked him to throw it 40 times against his team to win the game, I don't know if he can do that anymore.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know. I'm kind of.
But
on
they
the fence
have Le'Veon
there.
Bell.
Well, exactly. So I don't think they. I guess that's the point. Like
yeah.
I think they would give the best running back in football the ball, as opposed to say Ben win this for us.
They can't do it the way they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
When it was Ben in his prime
right.
throwing it over the place when they beat Arizona and Santonio Holmes and all that. They can't do that. But they don't need to do that.
Right.
In doses, he definitely can do that, just not for a whole
right.
game. I feel you there. So there is a depreciation factor where if you put him behind, your chances of winning are probably better than they were.
Right.
So I don't know. Did we answer anything?
I don't know. I think so.
I think we sort of answered
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Well, because I think that's where Ben is.
Yeah.
You're kind of like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's hard to gauge. It is. And we'll have a better gauge of it after Sunday for sure. We want to get the predictions coming here, and then we're gonna have the hot seat from Tuesday with Carlos Dunlap, who reminded us all that the internet's undefeated,
yeah.
Amongst other things. it was great to have Carlos on the show. I have to remind everybody, huge BTS on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Huge BTS. Andy Dalton will be our guest. Holy Grail Bank, 7 o'clock. Chris Mack is coming back.
Yeah.
Last year, the epic Papa Shot face-off occurred,
yeah.
and in dramatic fashion, Chris Mack got the dub.
Yeah.
Now, it was kind of unfair. Andy was playing Chris's game.
Yeah.
So we have to flip it this year. Tiny footballs. Tiny footballs, kid targets, flying all over Holy Grail Banks.
Yeah.
Who's in? I'm in.
Yeah.
And, you know, so... Just watch. Keep your head on a swivel if you come down to the show. Come early. Keep your head on a swivel.
Yeah.
Those are the two things. But it's going to be huge. So Chris Mack's going to come and join us. They're going to have a competition again. Dalton will be down there. Again, come early. It's going to be packed. Really excited. Shout out to Andy for coming down. He's got a big event next week. So he'll be promoting that.
Right.
Part of his Andy Jordan Dalton Foundation. Which is just an awesome cause, and they've been really kicking it up and doing all kinds
yeah.
of stuff. So we'll be talking more about that, but it's just, you know, coming off the Steelers game, there will be plenty to discuss.
Yeah.
So really looking forward to that. So come on down Tuesday, 7 o'clock, Holy Grail Banks, Andy Dalton, Chris Mack, Beyond the Stripes. Come on down to that. We're going to get to our predictions. We got to shout out the listenership.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm going to tell you, we just did this whole – let's power rank milk thing.
Yeah.
And just sort of thought it was just kind of funny. And we'll see what happens. Maybe people will like it. Maybe people will think, man, these guys are really dumb.
Let's yeah, right.
Like, stop with the silliness.
Right.
Right? But the response that we have gotten of A, people wanting to recommend power rankings ideas.
Yeah.
Just as we make fun of power rankings for how stupid they are. So we will rank all stupid stuff in power rankings. And the amount of people that are passionate about milk.
Yeah.
And have thoughts on our passion about
right.
milk has really, I can say effectively, I'm blown away.
I'm blown.
I mean, it's been remarkable. And now, I'm not sure what people dislike more, that I was trying to pass skim milk off as real milk, or that you, with your vanilla soy, were trying to basically take shot. I mean, you were basically saying that your vanilla soy is, it's the same thing as chocolate milk. It's putting something into milk. And I think people are calling you out on that.
Yeah. I disagree.
I know you do. People disagree with you. People were really siding with me.
I don't know.
On that argument. And
I think they were more mad at you for being
They were
pro
mad
skin.
At me because Parks and Rec.
Hey, well, you know what? I'm on the right side of
Ron
pop
Swanson
culture history.
Had a line where he got mad about people that think skim milk is milk. And so now, Hollywood elites say that I'm wrong, so everyone wants to hop on board. Yeah, well, liberal groupthink. That's not necessarily the way it is. Sorry, I just like using that phrase. But anyway, so we are on board with power rankings.
Yeah, we got
it. We are going to be doing
great.
In fact,
great.
You know what I think we can do? We can do power rankings of power ranking suggestions. That's how many good ones we have.
Yeah, we did get a lot of good ones.
So we're going to keep doing those.
So yeah, thanks for responding.
Yeah, seriously. It was awesome. So we're going to keep doing those. Those are going to be on every BBP one.
Yeah.
We're going to do those. So keep checking in there. All right, prediction time. Let's get the predictions, and then we'll get to the hot seat.
Yeah.
So what do you got?
I really struggled with this,
yeah.
to be honest. So I went back. I looked at our season opening predictions. I picked the Bengals to take an L this week, but to be 3-3 at this point. I thought week one was the win. I think, Paul, this is the one where they make it up. This is the one where they get
wow.
one that they that you think they shouldn't get.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be 13-10. I think
it's
Andy.
It's got to be 10, right?
Yeah. I think Andy turns it over. I think Ben turns it over. But I guess this is the one where I got to put my stamp on it, Paul, where I say I think this defense is for real. And I think Le'Veon Bell has a great fantasy week, gets a touchdown, you know. But when I just think I'm thinking Sean Williams on the sideline in 15, you know what I
right.
mean? Like I think Ben has a shot to win it or tie it, and I think this defense
makes the play.
And make several plays throughout. I do. 3-3 at the end of this week.
Wow. That Bengals fans like hearing that.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know what our record is on the year on predicting, but
I've only missed the one, I think, week one.
Week one.
Baltimore, yeah.
Yeah, because you picked.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You're
so
right.
I'm 4-1 as a predictor.
You picked the Bengals over the Bills, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. 4-1 as a predictor. It's not bad.
Yeah.
I am gonna say I've seen this movie too many times. It's sort of like with the playoff thing.
Yeah.
People always get mad at me because
yeah,
I refuse to pick them to win a playoff game in my season predictions every year. Show me what it looks like,
yeah.
and I will be happy to say that I believe it, that it can happen. And in terms of recent Bengals squads outside of Sean Williams on the sideline
right.
that you mentioned, I've seen what this looks like,
yep.
where there's no reason they shouldn't be good enough to go and win there. In Cincinnati, wherever, and there's just something, there's some block, there's something there that they just can't do it. And I think Le'Veon Bell could be the difference. I think that they could find something with him. To me, it's going to come down to what are they in the majority of the time, 3rd and 3 or 3rd and 6?
Yeah.
3rd and 3, it's clearly shifts to Pittsburgh. 3rd and 6, it's Bengals' wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Nickel pass rush, which has been so good, so dominant, can go
right.
out there and eat on Ben Roethlisberger, and Ben will throw it to you when he's under pressure.
Yeah.
Are they in that, or is or is Bell averaging 4 point whatever a carry, right, and are they in third and three and they can still run it or run their safe stuff or whatever they can do?
Right.
To me, that's the difference, and I think Bell is going to get enough, create enough yards by himself to get just enough. I have 16-13, you know,
yeah,
low, slugfest. Yeah. I think we both agree that's exactly what this thing's going to look like. Yeah. It's going to look like a war. It's going to look like that great picture of Andy Dalton. Was that Sam or Kareem that had that one?
The
photo team hit a home run with Dalton. I mean, it looked like a dude who was just in the middle of a war,
right,
with his helmet torn off, yelling at a ref, all disheveled, covered,
right,
in mud. That's what that picture is what this game is going to look like. The Bengals very easily could win it.
Yeah,
absolutely. But I just can't. I can't do it. I can't do it. I've got to go Steelers 16-13 right now. So anyway, that's our predictions. We will see who is right if Jim moves on to 5-1 or what happens there. So, and again, thanks everybody for reaching out with the power ranking stuff. It's just awesome. Keep sending it. Any suggestions for dumb things you want us to power rank? We are more than happy to do it, and we're gonna try to get to as many of them as we can. I imagine that's just
we
almost be a regular
have
thing.
Like through the season already.
We definitely have through the season. I think we're all the way to near the draft by now. Like literally good ones. I wasn't just writing on any of them.
Right.
All the good that I thought were really good, we're almost to the draft at this point. So keep them coming, and once we power rank the power rankings ideas, we'll get our order and then we'll start running through them. So anyway, thanks again for that. Here's Carlos Dunlap from Tuesday on the Hot Seat. Again, BTS, Tuesday, Andy Dalton, Chris Mack, Holy Grail Bank, 7 o'clock. Going to be huge. Come on down. So anyway, we'll talk to you later.
Uh-oh. Coming down the opposite right side, Paul Doherty, in this segment we call the Hot Seat. Are you ready?
Yeah.
You got no choice in the matter.
Huh?
You got no choice of whether you're ready or not. You got to be ready.
Pretty much so.
Why don't you just level with everybody here, this intimate gathering here, how bad you want to sack Ben Roethlisberger on Sunday?
Oh, very badly. Very badly. Yes.
I mean, some quarterbacks, it's great to get the sack. They're all great. But are these a little bit better than the others, Roethlisberger sack? How many you got?
Yes, getting Ben Roethlisberger is definitely something to hang your hat on. Anytime you have a future Hall of Fame quarterback or a quality quarterback that's been in the league as long as he has, you always enjoy getting sacks on, especially in a rivalry game.
Can he be frustrating? Because he's not a scrambler. He doesn't move well out of the pocket, but he has the feet of a ballet dancer, does he not?
Yeah, it is very frustrating because it's like what I used to say. It's like tackling Andrew Whitworth with feet like mine.
Yeah, they're feet like yours.
Yeah.
Well, it has to be exciting to get a guy down like that just because of who he is and because he's very, I mean, he moves in the pocket as well or better than anybody you face, I would say, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. He's definitely very good with his pocket awareness.
This is your eighth year in the NFL?
This is my eighth, yes.
Okay. Crazy. Well, what is the hardest lesson to learn in the National Football League?
The hardest lesson to learn? In the National Football League.
Something maybe that took you a while to figure out, but it's pretty important in terms of having a long, good career.
Sticking to routine, being disciplined through your assignment. You know, because as a playmaker, when you see the opportunity put right there in front of you, it's like a trap with a piece of cheese in it. You know, they're just waiting on you to get it. And, you know, you might make it 60% of the time, but that one time you don't, it hurts the team more than if you would have made it. So you gotta make a good choice about that.
Now, I read that one of the first things that you looked at after you were drafted was the average length of a career of an NFL player. Is that true?
True.
Why did you do that?
You know, my dad always talked about, you know, the acronym of what the NFL stands for, not for long.
Not for long.
Yeah, so I was curious of exactly what it was. And once I got here, I talked to some of the vets who were past that to see what they were doing. And then that's how I created my own program and molded it for myself.
And here, are you a little bit surprised that you're around for an eighth year in the NFL?
No, but I am surprised that I feel as good as I do at my eighth year. Yeah.
And that's because you learned from the guys before you.
Absolutely.
Now, one of your Twitter handles is employee96.
Yeah.
To me, that speaks to a little bit of humility.
Yeah.
The ability to understand that I'm just a guy here and that I got to fit in with everybody else. Where did that humility come from?
You know, sitting down talking with Tank Johnson. He's been a journeyman in the league. He's played in the league for a long time, or he played in the league for a couple of teams. And he just basically kept it real with me. He was like, you got to do something to make them remember your name, because otherwise you're just an employee here wearing that number.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and your humility extends to the community. I think we're going to talk about it a little bit next segment. You do a lot of charity work.
Yeah.
I've always said that the great little secret of charity is that it makes you feel as good as the people that you're helping. Have you found that?
Absolutely. You know, sometimes the time is a lot shorter than others, but all the time is quality time, because, you know, just seeing the kids get so excited when they see you can brighten your day, even when you're having a bad day or, you know, things aren't going your way. They give you life. They give you energy. You feed off of them.
Are you going to go to a classroom and talk about bullying in Pittsburgh this week?
Oh, yes. We went to one yesterday, Latonya Elementary School in Covington, and we're going to go to one in Pittsburgh as well.
Now, do you think that Mike Mitchell will be in the class that you're talking to about bullying?
No, but I'll bring that up to him. You should probably suggest it to him.
I'd love to see Mike Mitchell in the class sitting in one of those, like, third grader seats, you know?
Yeah, I feel like he pushes the rule, and that's what you want from a safety. You know, obviously, I don't like seeing when he hit AJ, but if he was on my team, I'd be high-fiving and clapping. So it's like one of those mixed feelings. But at the end of the day, as long as everybody's healthy and you're able to compete, I enjoy it. I enjoy competing at a high level.
Are you at home the other day watching him hit Alex Smith from behind in the knees and wondering why?
I did not see that play. Everybody's been talking about it. I did not see that play, so I'm not sure which play.
It might be on the internet.
It probably is. The internet is truly undefeated.
What is the equivalent at the University of Florida in terms of rivalries to Bengals Steelers? Or is there one?
Georgia, Florida.
The world's biggest cocktail party.
Yep.
Okay, not Alabama, not perhaps Florida State?
No, Georgia, Florida.
Always Georgia, Florida.
Yeah.
Okay. Does the NFL encourage humility like yourself, or cockiness like some other players we've seen?
Do they encourage?
Does it encourage? Does the NFL, because of the way it is, with the glamour and the glitz, and you're always on TV and you always got to watch what you say or do, does it encourage you to be like you and kind of humble, or does it encourage you to want to stand out?
I don't think they encourage any in particular thing. I think the biggest thing they do is they just want you to respect the brand and the logo, the emblem.
Okay.
I think as long as you do that, you can be whoever you want to be, as long as you respect that, you know, even without wearing your jersey, you know, you're still got that brand and that logo on your back.
Give me one thing right now that you would like to change about the National Football League.
One thing that I would like
to change. If you were king of the world, you could change one thing about the NFL.
I could say a couple things. you know, as of recently, in a lot of football games, you know, when an opportunity or a questionable play happens, you know, it's been blown dead versus letting it play out and review it, because they're all reviewed anyway.
Right.
So what's the point of having that benefit if they're not going to let it play out, you know? Now, obviously, if I'm on the good side of it, then high five, way to go, good job.
Right.
But on the flip side of it, you know, if it's me in the play, I would be very frustrated about it. And on the flip side of that, you know, I feel like, you know, receivers, guys who are catching the ball, really more so the bigger guys going across the middle, I think they would appreciate it if they were if the rule was a little bit more clear on the tackling and the targeting.
Defenseless receiver stuff.
Yeah, because they encourage the safeties to go low. And I feel like that's increased the injuries, you know.
Yeah. The receivers and running backs will tell you they'd rather get hit in the head and get a concussion than get hit in the knee and miss the rest of the year.
Yeah. That's your words particularly,
But that, I mean, that's true though, right?
Yeah. I mean, if it was me, I think I would rather get hit anywhere that would be, you know, shorter time than the whole season or the rest of my career. Because really it's the rest of your career.
Absolutely. Yeah. Marvin Lewis said that there are some defensive linemen in this league who are good enough that they are feared and that you should be one of those guys. Are you feared?
I feel like my peers around the league respect me, just as well as, you know, being honored to be voted for by my peers, the coaches, and, you know, just by the league to be in the Pro Bowl and have two Pro Bowls back to back.
Yeah.
And you can feel it on the field, obviously, you know. They're aware of where I am, but obviously we got that beast in the middle, Geno Atkins.
Yeah.
You know, and you got Vontaze Burfict behind me as well. So I feel like they have a lot of problems when they go up to face our defense.
Are those two guys feared, Geno and Vontaze?
I feel like our defense as a whole is feared.
Yeah.
And we haven't even played our best football game yet.
Tell me one thing about Vontaze that nobody knows.
He's a very smart football player. He's not just instinctive, although he has very great football instincts, he also backs it up with his studying of the game and his knowledge of how you're going to attack our defense and also understanding what our defense is and where everybody's supposed to be.
Right. Tell me one thing about Geno that nobody knows. That shouldn't be very hard because we don't really know anything about Geno.
Geno Atkins, he's very meticulous. He's not going to everything he does it for a reason with a purpose. Just like if he says something, you better know he wants to get that point across, you know?
Man of few words.
He's a man of few words, but when he says something, he wants you to know, you know, he wants it to be clear.
Okay. What is one thing no one has ever said about you? Not just football, just generally.
One thing that no one's ever said about me?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like they've covered the wheel with me.
Yeah.
I've had my highs, I've had my lows, so I feel like I've got my fair share of both sides of it.
Indeed. And you're wiser for it.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Favorite superhero?
Favorite superhero?
Yeah, this is a big time football question now.
Wow.
This is a big time football show.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting this one. Favorite superhero?
Yeah. It's also just like a 40-minute show, so you're supposed to react a little more quickly. Pretend I'm Roethlisberger and you want to
Superman.
Superman's a favorite? Why?
Yeah. Just the way that he can get around the world, be wherever he needs to be in the split of a second.
All right. Rank these in order of importance. Faith, hope, charity.
Faith first. Hope and charity.
So right in the way that I gave them to you.
Yeah.
What would your mom say that you need to improve about yourself?
That I need to improve?
I had a laugh over here. The young lady over here is laughing, so.
Because she knows my mom. That I need to improve about myself?
Yeah.
Being more vocal. I tend to hold things in.
Yeah.
You know, in football, obviously, you guys know me for wearing my emotions on my sleeve, but off the field, I'm typically quiet. I don't say too much. Similar to Geno.
Yeah.
If I say something, you know, I mean it. Something I want to get my point across. But it's pretty much the opposite of what you see on the field.
Yeah. Really? Off the field, okay. Yeah. Is that true? Yes, it is. Okay, we got validation. I'll accept that answer. Do you like to eat vegetables?
I do now.
You do now.
My first two,
Tank
three.
Tank Johnson tell you about that too?
No, actually, Chef Kimberly helped mix those in.
Yeah.
Because she seasoned them very well. Obviously, you know, initially when I started with her, I was getting, you know, my favorite meals just cooked cleaner. You know, it's better than eating out.
Right.
But then she started mixing vegetables in there with some of my favorite seasonings, and now I can pretty much go to about any restaurant and order a specific vegetable. Not all vegetables, but specific ones.
Like what?
Spinach. I do like spinach.
You like spinach?
Yes. I can eat spinach pretty much at any restaurants, whether it's cream, sauteed,
yeah,
whatever.
Oh, you got it all down now.
Yeah.
You're like a cook now.
Yeah, I've been working with her for extended time now, and I don't bind her to a specific meal or a program. I kind of let the artist be the artist, and every time I sit down at the table, it's like, what are we having?
There is. I want a personal chef. My wife will tell you that she's my personal chef.
That's what she should be. Future wife, you should know that too.
Do you, Carlos Dunlap, have any questions for me?
Any questions for you?
Yeah.
How long have you been a Bengals fan?
A Bengals fan?
Yeah.
I'm not a Bengals fan.
Uh-oh.
I don't root for or against you guys, all right?
Uh-oh.
I couldn't do my job if I were a fan. I write opinions, so when you're not good, I got to write that you're not good.
So you got to be unbiased.
I got to try to be objective as much as possible. So
I don't know if I like that answer, but I'll give it a, I'll let it
see,
slide.
The guy, these two guys, they're not fans either. You know that, right?
I know, but you're in the hot seat.
I'm what?
You're in the hot seat.
No, you're in the hot seat. This is my hot seat. You are in my – no, I'm not a fan. Usually I will tell people, though, that the first time a coach or a player says to me before a game, man, I hope you write a great column today, I might change my mind a little bit. That's never happened. Right? So I root for me, which is usually means that I root for you, because when the team wins, more people want to read about it. Players like you are easier to deal with. So it's good. It's all good.
So you got a big ego.
A little bit. Well, that's a topic for another show. We are done. You are off the hot seat. Carlos Dunlap, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Back in a moment with more from Beyond the Stripes.